Okay, thank you everyone. What a blessing to be here and see all your faces. I wanted to play that last song, God Who Listens, because of what we're going to talk about today. God is God who listens, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But here it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And that's what we're going to talk about, fellowship, relationships, this morning. Shati's going to do our PowerPoint. You probably know that I like PowerPoint. We're going to talk this morning about how God handles relationships. We thought that we'd talk about that because maybe if we know how God handles His relationships, we can know how to handle our relationships. And one of the things that I ran into just almost immediately in looking at this subject is Jesus Christ said that we are to love our enemies.
That was a hard one
for me. That was a hard one for me. For years. In my past, there are two individuals that, shall I say, treated me very badly and left scars. I've been able to forgive them, which removed the black stone in my heart and allowed God to fill it in with love. However, I don't know how to love them. I'd rather see them burn in hell. But,
Shati, Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies, but notice, He didn't say, like them. He didn't say, hang out with them. He didn't say, feel emotion for them. What did He say? He said, bless them, and do good to them, and pray for them.
I'm learning that God's relationship with us is one of action, not emotion. We are to show action of compassion, acts of love, acts of prayer, acts of healing, etc. So, I don't see these guys that hurt me, but I can pray for them. And that somehow they have or will have someone that enters their lives and leads them to Christ.
And the reason we do these things is that we may be the children of our Father. Now, in Bible times, when somebody was called a child of something or a son of something, it doesn't mean that that something was a person. For example, Barnabas in Acts is called the son of consolation. Consolation is not a person. But why is he called the son of consolation? Well, because he had those attributes of consolation. And what we're looking at here is Jesus is saying that we may have the attributes of our Father. Next slide. This one blew my mind. I've read the entire Bible. I don't remember seeing this before I started this. It says, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Sounds like God loves His enemies. Oh, gee, we know that from John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The world contains some of God's enemies. So we see how loving is connected to doing. Okay? Next slide, Shati. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were His enemies, God gave us something. He did for us. Okay, how does that translate into our lives? Well, hopefully, we are not the enemy of anybody. But we definitely have enemies. So what do we do with those enemies? We don't have to hang out with them, but we also can still be kind to them. We can do good to them. Loving is doing. It's not necessarily the emotion you feel. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah. It says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies. No. We weren't sometimes, we're all the time alienated, but we were at one time alienated and enemies. Yet now, God wants to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's what God does for us.
God gives us lots of promises. Promises have always been a very important thing in my life. And I learned from my father how what a promise truly means. It's not something that you make lightly. And yeah, I promise I'll get to that. No. And when my son was young, I taught him the value of a promise, that I would never promise him anything unless I could do it. And he would run around going, Mommy, promise me you'll do this. And I said, I can't, and I won't. But the ones that I did, I held to them. So he had that in his life, and he gave that to my grandsons. So God always keeps His promises.
So you're talking about like in Ephesians. Next slide. Oh, well.
Well.
We'll get to Ephesians.
In 2 Peter 1, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Precious. The God of all comfort, who comforts us so that we may comfort those in trouble or in sorrow or in pain. He is not a warm Hallmark blanket.
Next slide. There's Ephesians. So Ephesians 1, these are just some of the promises. These are a small amount of the promises of God in the Word. He blessed us with all spiritual blessing.
Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
Predestinated us unto sonship.
Made us accepted in the Beloved.
We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins.
Abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
And He made known unto us the mystery of His will. Next slide.
God does so many things in His promises. He loves us. He strengthens us. He heals us. He protects us. He forgives us. And He listens to us.
Oh, like, you mean like, not the kind of listening where you're listening to somebody and trying to think of the next thing you're going to say?
Not our God.
Cool. Next slide.
God is the God of all comfort. So I got ahead of myself. And He shows us what comfort is so we can comfort others.
Yeah, He comforts us in our tribulation so that we can comfort them which are in tribulation, trouble. Next slide. Okay. God doesn't forget us. It says in Isaiah, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. This is God talking. You know how sometimes people get into a new relationship and they're going, Oh, I can't stop thinking about him. Oh, I can't stop thinking about her. Well, God is always thinking about us. And it doesn't go away. He doesn't stop thinking about us when the relationship gets a little older. God is always thinking about it. Look, it says he's graven us upon the palms of his hands. You know, that's a very painful place to get a tattoo, right? It says, thy walls are continually before me. He's always there looking at us on the palms of his hands. Of course, that's a figure of speech called condescensio, because God doesn't have hands like we do. Next slide. What's our response to that? Well, Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So when God, knowing that God is always thinking about us, what do? Well, we think about God. Mm-hmm. We put our mind into his word.
Absolutely.
We look forward
daily
to getting into his word. Absolutely. God values us, and he wants us to live confident, fear-free lives. Next slide. It says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. So how much more are you going to be remembered by God? Okay, so God remembers us. God thinks of us, about us all the time. What is our response to that in our relationships with other people? Well, we think about the other person. We can't think about everybody all the time. But we think about the other person and try to do for the other person things that the other person is going to want. We have to put ourselves in our shoes. You know, if you don't like basketball, me going out and getting you tickets to a basketball game is not going to bless you. No matter how much I might like basketball, which, by the way, I don't really. So, it says, even the very hairs of our head are all numbered.
You know, I've helped God out in this, because every morning when I brush my hair, I have a lot less hair. So he has a lot less to count for me every day.
So he says, fear not. You know, God says, fear not throughout his word. All over the place. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You ever felt like you're not very valuable? Hey, you are more value than many sparrows. Those really aren't sparrows. Next slide. It says, when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates. You know, I used to think, oh, that never happens to us. But you know what? Now we're starting to hear about it in the news. People brought before the magistrates for nothing more than wanting to pray on the football field. And the guy won the case, by the way. When they bring you to the synagogues and to the magistrates, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Ghost will teach you in that same hour. God is there for you. So what do we do in our relationships? Well, we're there for people. You ever hear of someone who has a friend and he says to that friend, you're always there for me. Yeah, that's a big deal in our relationships. But why do we do it? Well, first of all, it feels good, but God tells us what he does. God does that in his relationship with us. So, next slide.
God treats us how he wants us to treat others.
With love and compassion.
He listens to us.
You know, not thinking about the next thing he's going to say. And he values us.
He thinks about us.
He does not forget us.
He gives to us.
And he's kind and does good to us. So.
Thank you.
Would you like to pray? You're going to pray? Go ahead. Go ahead. Pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for this family that you have put us in. Thank you for the many ways that you care for us, that you love us, that you want to communicate with us. You show us how you are. You demonstrate how you are and give us the lessons to be like that, to bring others to your family. You have blessed us over and over, and we love you with all of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.